when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening to all you precious, precious Blood River Radio family out there. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you so much for keeping us on the air with your all your support, your donations. People, where are we? You are listening to Blood River Radio. We're syndicated nationally by Liberty News Radio, and we're just so glad to be here. And you're listening to Eddie, the Bombardier Miller. I'm going to be your host. And what is today? Today is, a lot of people call it April Fool's Day. I started to look up and see why they call it April Fool's Day. But I have a suspicion why. But anyway, I didn't do that. And it's in also, it's the year of 2023, in the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Almighty God. There's no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ. There's no other way to get there. That's it. That's pure and simple. And people, if you will, you know, this is a Christian show. I was going to have this long. I was going to read you the a psalm, a precatory psalm, but it was too long. So, in other words, I guess I should just go ahead and say I was going to damn our enemies to hell. But so I don't have time to read that long psalm. But anyway, if you will, just go ahead and bow your head. I'm going to say a quick prayer. Almighty Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, O Lord, the God of Eddie Miller, the God of Blood River Radio and Liberty News Radio, O Lord, I don't have to tell you that we are under attack greater than any time in my short time on this world, on this earth. Lord, probably no greater time worldwide in history have your people, Christian people, white people, white Christians been under attack like we are today, Lord. Lord, the powers of the adversary, the devil and his officer corps, the Jews, their work is everywhere. You can see it. It's not just the United States, it's everywhere, Lord. They are out to kill us. They have one final goal. Their end game is to kill every single white Christian on the face of the earth, and they will not rest until that happens. Lord, what we ask, we humbly ask you, Lord, to please don't let that happen. Give us the wisdom. Give our people who have yet not awakened up to know who the enemy is. Let them wake up and know once and for all, never doubt who that enemy is. And Lord, if you will, give us and give them the courage to take something, to get in the street, to do what it takes to defend against this enemy, to thwart them in their goal to exterminate us. And Lord, I ask all this in your son, your precious son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, people, I'll tell you what, we also always thank our donors, our supporters, which we could not operate without them. And we have O. Allen Biscuit. He sent us a really big donation. The guy, he really sacrifices, you know, he sacrifices so much. I feel kind of self-conscious about it. But, you know, I have to take it because we couldn't live without it. We really could. We could not keep going without it. Also, so thank you so much, Biscuit. Man, I tell you what, you must bleed, man, because you're such a stalwart donor and a supporter. And you talk to me all the time. And when I'm feeling sometimes get discouraged and get pissed off, you call and you give me you give me courage and make me want to hang in there. And also, we have Ken. I know people know who I'm going to say. It's Ken. Ken, Big Ben from Lynbrook, New York. He donates not just once a month, usually two or three times a month. But we have, like I told, I was talking to Biscuit today. In all of history, all of recorded history, there's always a very small percentile that actually puts their shoulder to the wheel, that picks up the bayonet, picks up the rifle, and does what they do, what it takes to save the world, to save history. All the history has been controlled by just a handful of people. And that's just always the way it is. Because you know what, people? Most, I hate to say this because I'm a white person, but the majority of white people on the face of the earth are a bunch of stinking cowards. They really are. They're going to sit around and they'll wait till the battle's over. And if they have to lick the boots of their masters, they will. They'll just do whatever it takes to survive. Anyway, people, with that, I'm going to shut the hell up. Guess what? We have a great, great guest on tonight. This will be the second or third time he's been on. But his name is John Friend. He's the assistant editor of the Barnes Review, and he is also instrumental in putting out the America Free Press. We have him on tonight, and he's going to discuss, amongst several things, his great article. It's in the bottom. I'm going to flip over the top to the front and see which issue this was in. This is in the March-April 2023 issue. He has an article called Russia Must Perish, but we're going to cover that article. We're going to cover a few other things. And listen, our second hour, we're going to have Dalton Stout coming on for the Aryan Nation, the Aryan Network, and he's going to cover what they do to defend against the outbreak of these demoniacs, LGBT, these mentally ill, degenerate psychopaths, what they're going to do, what they suggest to for us good people to defend ourselves against them in this out-of-control criminal cabal government. The third hour, we're going to have Sister Nancy Hitt, my big sister, and my little sister, Monica Braveheart Schaefer. They will be coming on. They're going to be riding a shotgun on the third hour. So that's what we're doing tonight, folks. If you will, please just relax and take this in because we have a great guest. Well, how are you doing tonight, John?
Eddie, thank you very much for having me back on the program. It is quite an honor to be with you. And I want to just thank you for that opening prayer. That was excellent. Very, very well said. And, you know, I totally agree with everything you said. That really was a powerful message to kind of get started. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. Sometimes I find myself, I don't pray enough. So it's encouraging and it's helpful hearing other people, you know, take that initiative. So I do appreciate that. That was very well said.
Well, thank you. I shoot from the hip. Sometimes I'll try to have a regular prayer. I started to call a pastor of mine in and give him to do what they call a precatory prayer. And I like to do prayer. I like to rain before I know I don't want to get off track too far. But, you know, with all these, what I call mealy mouth, milk toast, spineless, so-called New Age Christians, they talk about, oh, hate, we can't hate. Well, you know what? I'll tell them, well, God hated Esau in the womb. And if it's good enough for God, absolutely, it's good enough for me. The King David, you can go through there. He hated his enemy. I started to pull up and read up one of his psalms where he not only did he say, I hate them, O Lord. He said, I hate them with a perfect hatred. And I do. I hate the devil. And I hate the devil's, I hate the God's adversaries. And I hope, like I said, I'm 76 years old. I don't want to get too far off base. I don't want to get too hot right off the bat. But I've told Dr. Hill with the League of the South, I'm hoping one of my prayers is that I can, if I can't go to Russia and pick up a rifle, although I was a former combat medic, if I can't do that and fight the adversary there with our white Russian Christian friends, I hope I can live to do it here in the streets of the United States. But you're right. A precatory prayer, I like to call and rain down hellfire and brimstone on these godless enemies of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I don't want to get you too far off base.
And those enemies of Jesus Christ are completely controlling our government, our media, and they have for a very, very long time. And we're at a very, very dark point in American history, unfortunately. But like you, I have faith, I have hope, and I know, you know, things are in God's hands. And we can just do what we can to stand up for the truth and to stand up for what's right. And that's what I try to do with everything that I write, everything that I talk about on the radio. So, and I'm sure, you know, that's obviously your sort of mindset as well.
You got that right.
But yeah, no, if you want to kind of jump into the article, yeah, this is the March-April 2023 issue of the Barnes Review. It's the most recently published issue. We're actually getting ready to wrap up the May-June issue of the magazine, and that's going to be sent to the printer probably within the next week or so. And then, you know, it takes some time to get it printed and mailed out to everybody. So, you know, let me actually just mention, but you know, before we kind of jump into it, if you're not already subscribing to the magazine, you really should be. It's like one of the last revisionist publications in existence, you know, as far as I'm aware anyways. And I've been following the Barnes Review and subscribing to the magazine since I really kind of woke up to this stuff back in like 2011 or 2012, I think. is when I first started subscribing. And it's a great publication. You know, we cover pretty much all aspects of Western history. A lot of it does focus on World War II revisionism, but not exclusively. For example, this most recent issue, the March-April 2023 issue, the lead article is authored by a regular contributor to the magazine, a guy named Carl Hamers. And he's writing this series about National Socialism in America.
Yes.
In this first, yeah, it's really, really interesting article. And the cover is awesome. It's a photo of some of the guys from the German-American Bund, which was highly persecuted and targeted by the federal government at the time, led by a Jewish representative from the state of New York. Shock, right? A Jew persecuting a National Socialist movement. You know, imagine that.
Yes.
But anyways, yeah, the article is really good. That's sort of like the main article of the issue. But we have a number of other articles in it as well, again, covering all aspects of history. Another aspect of history we focus quite a bit of attention on is Southern history, Confederate history, the history of the Civil War, and bringing, you know, alternative perspectives to that narrative of history, right? That's something I'm sure is very near and dear to your heart, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners as well. It's something, I mean, I wasn't raised in the South, but I have, you know, major sympathies with the Confederate cause and with the Southern people. And I think that was a huge turning point in American history. And yes, a lot of it we have been lied to about big time. So,
but John, with that break, we're going to our first commercial break, and we'll be right back. And incidentally, we just finished a month of Confederate / white history. We're sure with Gene Andrews, none other than Gene Andrews. People, we'll be right back with Mr. John Friend just a second.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, without further ado, we're not going to waste another second. We're going to go right back to your friend, my friend, the assistant editor of the Barnes Review, and he also writes for the America Free Press, John Friend. Continue on, John. We were talking about, we get ready to delve into this this article, Russia Must Perish, I believe, that you wrote in the Barnes Review.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is the editorial in the most recent March-April 2023 issue of the magazine. And by the way, check out barnesreview.org and you can find details of how to go about subscribing to the magazine. We also have a huge bookstore selling all sorts of revisionist books, books that you probably wouldn't be able to find anywhere else. You certainly won't be able to find them on Amazon.com, for example, considering all the censorship that's gone on. But anyways, yeah, it's barnesreview.org. And in the article that I wrote, it's Russia Must Perish with a question mark. And in it, I basically am sort of drawing, parallels with, what's currently going on between Russia and Ukraine and all of these Jewish neocons calling for the total destruction of Russia and the total overthrow of the Russian government. And, they want to see Putin arrested and overthrown. And I don't know if you saw recently the International Criminal Court filed charges against Putin. I mean, this is a total joke of an institution, but nevertheless, it sort of reflects the mindset that these globalists have. They want to destroy anybody that is standing up to their power and influence, to their overall agenda, which is, as you've explained previously, white genocide and totally subverting and destroying all the sovereign Western nations in the world. And they're basically there at this point. I mean, we're basically living in a world where there is no national sovereignty, and, in Western nations or countries are being flooded with quote unquote refugees and migrants from the third world. And, our militaries are being used to advance the geopolitical interests of Israel in the Middle East and this international Jewish empire. And that's really what this is all about. But the article itself, I go back and sort of highlight some of the genocidal calls that were being made by American officials, by officials in the Soviet Union. For example, I'm sure most listeners are aware of Theodore Kaufman, who is this Jewish businessman based in New York. He was really close to the FDR administration. He published a book in 1941 titled Germany Must Perish, where he basically argued that Germany needed to be totally annihilated to stamp out, the sort of militarism that they were long accused of, which is total nonsense, we know. But this is the sort of mindset that, these Jewish supremacists that just absolutely hate white people, certainly racially conscious, self-assertive white people like the Germans were under the reign of the National Socialist Movement. So, this guy wrote a whole book basically calling for the genocide of Germany. And then I also cite Henry Morgenthau, who was the FDR administration's Secretary of Treasury during World War II. And of course, he was Jewish.
Yes.
And he authored that infamous Morgenthau Plan in 1944, which was basically a memorandum sort of like advocating a policy of systematically destroying Germany, in the aftermath of World War II. And this plan was more or less adopted as official Allied policy, and it was implemented after the defeat of National Socialist Germany, and it totally ruined the nation for generations. I mean, millions of Germans were killed in the aftermath. Entire German populations were uprooted and transplanted. There were all sorts of German communities all throughout Central and Eastern Europe that were basically kicked out and sent back to Germany. Germany itself was dismembered and lost huge chunks of territory. So this was a policy, again, like a sort of genocidal policy, openly advocated and formalized as U.S. government policy in the aftermath of World War II. And then, of course, I'm sure most listeners are also aware of Ilya Ehrenberg, who was one of the top propagandists in the Soviet Union. Shocking. I know you're going to be shocked, but yeah, he was also Jewish. And publishing. Yeah, right. I mean, imagine that, another Jew calling for the total destruction of Germany or other white people or other white nations. But anyways, Ehrenberg was infamous for writing these pamphlets that were sent to the Red Army, the soldiers on the front lines that were basically arguing for, again, genocide of the German people, calling for the rape of German women, defiling German women. He basically said that Germans are not human beings, and that if you have not killed at least one German today, then you have wasted this day. I mean, this was the sort of rhetoric that, this was the sort of rhetoric that, was prevalent in the Soviet Union, in the United States, probably in the United Kingdom, although I'm less familiar with, the sort of propaganda that was on display in that country during World War II, but I'm sure it's very, very similar. So anyways, we see a lot of parallels with what's going on today And you know, even like the way, like for example, Poland was sort of manipulated by the British and by the Americans to sort of instigate the conflict with Germany leading up to World War II. We see the same thing happening with Ukraine, how the United States and NATO, and NATO is basically a total puppet of the Jews running the United States. You know, they've been manipulating and instigating Ukraine to, you know, basically, you know, to instigate a war with Russia. And Russia's been very clear about her security needs and, you know, has called out, you know, NATO for expanding further to the east. And I mean, the list goes on and on and on. The Russians have been very, very clear about their concerns. And you know, the United States has basically told them to go F themselves, essentially.
Yes.
And has just outright ignored all of their very legitimate and accurate concerns. And, you know, it's led to this war, led to this invasion, this special military operation. And, you know, the poor Ukrainians, I mean, I've seen estimates where there's, you know, over 100,000 people that have died as a result of this, totally unnecessary and needless conflict. I think the Russians, frankly, have been justified in actually taking taking this military action just because they really didn't have any other choice. But again, it could have easily been prevented if we didn't have these psychopathic Jews running our country. And of course, Ukraine itself is led by a Jewish president and has a major, you know, Jewish presence in the government and in the media. So, you know, it's basically, once again, another Jewish instigated war. And so it's there's a lot of parallels. And you see some of the rhetoric on display in the West, certainly, you know, in the United States, where, you know, we have, for example, like Joe Biden in March of 2022. So about a year ago, he was in Poland shortly after the Russian invasion. And he gave a speech where he basically insisted that Putin cannot remain in power. And, you know, basically calling for regime change, a clear violation of accepted diplomatic norms. And, you know, U.S. officials and the president himself have repeatedly called Putin a war criminal and a brutal dictator, and, you know, basically saying that he's a major war criminal. And of course, it's amazing hearing these people say these sorts of things, considering all of the, you know, outrageous crimes the U.S. government has committed in the past 10 years alone or 20 years alone since 9/11. Biden also basically admitted that his administration would sabotage the Nord Stream pipelines, if you remember.
And, yes, he did.
You know, that basically happened, you know, just last year. And that's been basically confirmed. I don't know if you saw the report by Seymour Hersh.
Yes,
he wrote a pretty lengthy. Yeah, he wrote this like lengthy investigative article, you know, detailing all this, the behind the scenes machinations to bring about the sabotage of the pipeline. And certainly the United States benefited from this act of industrial terrorism. That's exactly what it was. Now, again, you know, we have leading American politicians and media pundits regularly referring to Putin as a war criminal and a ruthless monster who is openly defying what they describe as the quote-unquote rules-based international order. You got to love that. You know, you got to love the hypocrisy.
That's funny as hell. It wasn't so damn sad.
You know, and this just like demonstrates their just total disconnect from reality and just their outrageous hypocrisy. These are the same
arrogance.
People. Yeah, and yeah, exactly.
Their
these
arrogance
are the
is off
people.
The scale.
Yeah,
you know what? You're right. You know, I'm going to interrupt you because you're on a roll. I'm not going to interrupt you anymore. But they have to be, in my opinion, they're mentally ill. And I'm coming from a Christian worldview. I believe that they are demoniacs. They're demon possessed. You would have to be mentally ill and or possessed by a demon to even think that and believe your own rhetoric. I mean, if you look at the United States, there's no country in the world has killed more innocent people on earth. And that goes back all the way back to Rome, you know, to Caligula. Hell, Caligula was like the saint compared to our damn government. Oh, well, John, I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
I hear the music. Got to go to one more break. Be right back. And I'm sorry. You got me fired up, brother. I'm sorry I had to interrupt you. But, folks, we'll be right back after this break. Hang on to your seats.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing Liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News. I'm Jerry Barmash. The death toll is rising after a large tornado tore through Little Rock on Friday.
Right now we are have 5 confirmed fatalities.
That's Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who says she activated the National Guard and declared a state of emergency. One person also died in Belvidere, Illinois, after a tornado caused a roof to collapse during a concert. The National Weather Service says it received more than 50 preliminary tornado reports across 7 states. Former President Trump's campaign wasted no time in cashing in on his indictment.
The indictment has been profitable for former President Trump's current campaign. Trump has raised over $4 million since he was indicted in Manhattan on Thursday. Following that indictment, Trump's campaign began sending out fundraising emails. Trump also asked for donations on his Truth Social platform, writing, "If you are doing well, which was made possible through the great policies of the Trump administration, send your contribution to DonaldJTrump.com. I'm John Schaefer.
Funerals are being held for the 6 people killed in last week's mass shooting at the Covenant School. Mourners packed Woodmont Christian Church on Friday to remember 9-year-old Evelyn Dykehouse in a celebration of life. A private service for 9-year-old Hallie Scruggs was set for Saturday. 9-year-old William Kenny will be laid to rest on Sunday. Funeral services for the 3 adult staff members also killed in the shooting rampage will conclude on Tuesday. Pope Francis is home from the hospital. The Pope left the hospital Saturday morning after spending 3 days recovering from bronchitis. He stood and answered reporters' questions outside Rome's Gemelli Hospital, embraced and blessed a crying woman, spoke to a young couple, and then was driven back to the Vatican. Francis says he'll deliver the Palm Sunday prayer from St. Peter's Square. This is USA News.
Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at crazy low prices. They have access to great prices and discounts at over 500 different airlines. Plus 300,000 hotels and rental car companies. Their prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find the best price for you. Call SmartFares today and get ready to see the world with a fat wallet.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. That's 800-871-3291.
Well, I gave you power, huh? Well, let me tell you something, boy. If I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going right back to my friend, your friend, the assistant editor of the Barnes Review, John Friend. What an intelligent fellow. What an eloquent fellow. I'm really enjoying him being on this program tonight. Go ahead, John. Let's continue on where you left off. If I didn't get you too distracted, I'm really bad about that.
Oh, no. It's no problem. I mean, basically, what the point I was making is that, you know, we have all these American officials, you know, including Biden himself, you know, top media pundits, openly calling for, you know, the overthrow of the Russian government, essentially calling for Putin to be arrested, you know, criticizing him as a war criminal, you know, for openly defying the quote unquote rules-based international order. I mean, these people are the biggest hypocrites, and it's just so insulting to hear this sort of rhetoric coming from these people. These are the same exact people that advocated for and launched multiple illegal wars of aggression against regimes in the Middle East, including Iraq, including Afghanistan, including Libya, including what, you know, what's currently going on in Syria still to this day. These wars have resulted in the deaths of millions of people, including thousands of U.S. soldiers, and even worse, many of these American servicemen who have returned home from these, you know, outrageous illegal military actions have major psychological and emotional problems. Their lives have been destroyed, largely due to their participation in these illegal and totally unnecessary military actions. And of course, all of these brutal military operations were based on complete and total lies and deceptions told by Jews controlling our media and you know, Jews in our government. And all of this is designed to advance Israeli geopolitical interests in the Middle East by destroying all these potential adversaries to Israel. And, you know, advance this Jewish neocon fantasy of an all-powerful U.S. superpower dominating and subjugating the entire world in pursuit of Jewish financial and political interests. And, you know, that's what this whole situation, this proxy war being waged, you know, by the U.S. against Russia is all about as well, because Russia and China are increasingly demonstrating that they have the ability to challenge this Jewish, you know, American-led, well, it's in a quote-unquote American-led world order, but of course, who controls America? And that's, of course, organized Jewish interests.
Yes.
So this sort of rhetoric that we see all over the place, you know, you see it in the left-wing alternative media, left-wing independent media, for example, like the Daily Beast, for example, or, you know, certainly right-wing media. You see it from mainstream politicians, you know, calling for, again, the overthrow of the Russian government, the arrest of Putin. This sort of rhetoric that we see on display is very, very dangerous, obviously. It does nothing but generate hostility, exacerbate tensions, and foster resentment and hatred for the other. And in this case, it's not the Germans this time, it's the Russian people and their political leadership. And these are our ethnic kinsmen. I mean, yes, we do not need another brother's war against Russia. Or even China, for that matter. I mean, you know, these countries are capable of standing up for their own interests. And see, this is what's interesting, and this is sort of another topic I've been kind of writing about in the Barnes Review a little bit, but also in American Free Press, and that is this growing alliance between Russia and China, and how it is majorly challenging this, you know, this U.S.-led world order. And, you know, if you think about it, I mean, how is the U.S. maintained its geopolitical hegemony in international relations since World War II? I mean, really, in the aftermath of World War II is when the U.S. kind of took over. You know, pretty much all the other countries were exhausted and you know, had been you know, dominant for centuries, but, you know, they sort of declined, and the U.S. sort of rose to power in the aftermath of World War II. And we've maintained that hegemony through threats, through military, you know, outright direct military action, through these color revolutions where we're going in there and we're funding and organizing and instigating subversive forces in foreign nations, where we're overtly interfering in the sovereign affairs of other countries, through disinformation campaigns. We've seen how effective that is, and just basically dirty tricks. So, I mean, we've been maintaining this geopolitical hegemony through dirty tricks, essentially. And, you know, I don't know how closely you follow, like, what Putin says or what some of the Chinese leaders say, or
Putin's one of my heroes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't, you know, there's this like debate, like in the alternative, like independent media, about Putin and whether he's, you know, some sort of like legitimate leader, or if he's like a puppet of the Jews, like the rest of the politicians in, you know, in America and in the wider Western world. I don't know. I don't live in Russia. I've never been to Russia. I don't speak Russian. I really don't know exactly what Russian society is like. I don't really know exactly what Putin's like. All I can base my observations off of is what he is actually out there saying and doing.
And done.
And if you listen to his speeches, you listen to his critiques of the U.S., I mean, they are so spot on. They are 100% accurate.
You got that
he's
right.
Openly denounced. Yeah, I mean, he's like openly denouncing, you know, what does America stand for anymore? It stands for gay sex.
Global homo.
And yeah, in promoting transgender madness, which is resulting in schools getting shot up. And you got to love that. Like, there's this mass shooting by this crazed, deranged freak. And somehow that freak is the victim in all of this.
That's right.
You know, it's like everything is so backwards in this country and upside down. You know, and it takes somebody like Vladimir Putin to recognize it and call it out. We certainly don't have anybody saying these sorts of things, at least, you know, in the mainstream in America. But yeah, no, I mean, I think his critiques are spot on. The Chinese, have been also spot on in their criticism of America. I actually had sort of again, like kind of a related subject. I wrote this article for the newspaper in the most.
Let me just tune in just for a second, John, if you don't mind. I'm just going to go because you said you don't live in Russia. You're not for sure. You know, you can't be positively absolutely sure. I would like to go back and say something that Patrick Henry once said. Patrick Henry once said something like this. He said he knew of no better lamp to guide his path than by the lamp of the past. The paraphrase kind of like that. If you go back into Russia and you look at some of the stuff that Alexander Solzhenitsyn has written about, like, you know, I think he wrote a book called 200 Years Together, the Jews and the Christians mm-hmm. living together. And if you look at what happened after the so-called Russian Revolution, which was not a Russian Revolution at all, it was, the Russian people had nothing to do with it. Solzhenitsyn said it was the country was overthrown by a handful of just a few Jews, predominantly Jews from just Trotsky, whose real name was not Trotsky, it was Leon something or another, but he was a Jew. Most of the people in the Communist Party were Jews, and they hated, like, to mirror what Solzhenitsyn said, the people that overthrew Russia, that had the Russian Revolution, they hated Russia. They were Jews. They hated Russia. I'll say it again. They were Jews. Like David Harry said, it's always Jews all the time. They hated Jews because the Tsar and his being a Christian, his country, they would not allow the Jews to completely take over and subjugate Russia. So when they finally got control and the Red Army defeated the White Army, they killed, they talk about the Ukraine, the Jewish-led Cheka went into the Ukraine and killed 6-8 upwards maybe of 15, 16 million people. They died by starvation. They would kill, they would, these stinking Jews from Czechia would execute the people there in Ukraine for even eating a slice of bread. They had the largest concentration camps on the face of the earth. We had General Nick Glasnevik on here talking about something like it was many, many, many concentration camps that the Jews ran in the Soviet Union. They killed millions of Russians and millions of Polish. They killed Christians, white Christians, and that was their goal to kill them. And so once the Russians overthrew and kicked the Jewish oligarchs out of Russia, now all of a sudden, instead of them being our allies, us fellow Jews in the United States have been taken over by Tel Aviv. Now they hate Russia. That's what it is right now. I'm going to throw my opinion. I may be wrong, but I'll get your take on it. And I want you to go to the other article. But now that the Christians have taken over, there's a great revival going on in Russia. Putin has built, since he's been there, thousands of new churches that were destroyed by the Jews. And I put it this way. I think because what we're seeing Satan and his officer corps, the Jews, try to wipe out the last stronghold of the last Christian nation on earth. Because the United States sure as hell is not Christian. And they're trying to wipe them out because they're a Christian nation. And they kicked the Jews out. And also probably the largest repository of white people on earth. And with that, I'll shut up and go back to you because you're the guest, John. But I was just going to get that in there. But go ahead, my man.
No, man. I tend to agree with you. I mean, it's hard to know exactly all the details. I mean, I'm not an expert in Russian history or even Putin for that matter. But I like what I see. I like what he has to say. I think he's spot on in his critique of the U.S.
Oh, God, John, we've got to get one more break. I'm sorry, John. We've got to go to another. I'm sorry, John. Be right back, fella. This is our last break. Hang on, folks. We'll get back to this great view. I got to shut the hell up and get our guest talk.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at lovingliberty.net.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
In the morning. Smells like victory. Some folks
are born made. Boy, we're dropping some napalm tonight, folks. Folks, I got to shut up because we got to get through this article and I'm taking up too much time speaking. So we're going to go right back to the guest, the intellectual, my good intellectual young friend, John Friend. Go ahead, John. I'm sorry I interrupted earlier.
Ooh, intellectual. I don't know about that. No, but
well, someone has to be. It's not me. Someone is, but it's not me.
Yeah. No, I don't know if I'm necessarily an intellectual, but just somebody who likes to read and pay attention, and you know, I can kind of string some sentences together from time to time. But I was going to say I basically agree with you. I mean, I'm very, very impressed with Putin and the Russian leadership, and even the Chinese for that matter. I mean, I certainly don't want the Chinese coming over here and, you know, living in America or taking over America or anything like that.
Amen.
I like what they got to say. I like their critiques. They're frankly spot on. And I mean, even that was one thing, like right from the very beginning of this, the escalation of this conflict, it's been over a year now. I mean, I think the special military operation was officially launched in like late February of last year. And, I had been sort of following, you know, developments in Russia, I guess, to a certain extent. But I sat down and I watched Putin's speech where he announced it. And I was just so impressed with how composed he was, with how serious and just like righteous, like he had a righteous cause. He was explaining all like everything that, you know, he and his government had tried to do to prevent, prevent the conflict from breaking out, you know, explaining themselves to the United States and sharing all of their very serious and legitimate security concerns. And, you know, basically they were just ignored and disrespected. And so I guess what I'm getting at is that I've been very impressed with the political leadership of Russia and China really since this conflict has gotten started. And I mean, you look at the way like Putin addresses the nation, the points that he makes, the critiques he makes of the United States. And then you look at like America and it's just a total joke. It's like night and day. It's like they have like serious, they have like serious, smart, honest political leaders. And we just have the worst of the worst, the biggest puppets, the biggest warmongers, the most compromised individuals. I mean, you see a guy like Lindsey Graham get up there. How the hell is this guy still in the Senate? Mitch McConnell. I mean, these guys look and act and sound like they're homosexuals. I mean, they're just total fruitcakes. They're total clowns. They're total Jew-loving puppets that will do anything to, you know, to please their Jewish handlers. And it's just outrageous. It's embarrassing. And so, you know, I mean, just comparing the sort of leadership that we have versus, you know, what you see in Putin and Lavrov, the foreign minister, and some of these other, you know, Russian political figures. And it's like night and day. It's like, you know, these guys are serious.
Yes.
These guys are smart. these guys.
You know something else, John?
Yeah.
Just briefly interject here, and you know what Putin does? Putin is for the Russian people. If you notice that, we don't have leaders to stick up for our white people here in the United States. In the Chinese, love them or hate them. I'm like you. I certainly don't want them over here. I like them, but they're loves they're over there. But you just got to say one thing. What's his name? Bi Jiangjin, whatever his name is. If you notice, he's always for China. The Chinese leader is for Chinese people, his culture. The Russian leader, the people in Russia, have been sticking up for Russia and their culture and their borders. But go ahead. Continue on, John.
No, I know. It's like, wow, what an amazing concept. A political leader that actually puts the interests of his own people first. You know, it's
wow.
Like something so foreign to Americans. Yeah. You know, Donald Trump. Yeah, and then like Donald Trump gets up there and starts making some of these points and using some of this rhetoric, and look at the way the media and the political class, you know, turned on him. Anyways, that's a whole other subject. But basically, my point is that you know these guys seem to be, at least from what I can tell, very serious, very very righteous. You know, as you said, concerned about the interests of their own nation, and they see the United States for what it is. It's this monster that just goes around bullying the whole world and, you know, implementing its will using force oftentimes or other dirty tricks like color revolutions and, you know, financial blackmail and financial threats and things of this nature. And, you know, the Chinese have been saying this. The Russians are saying it. In fact, I was going to mention I published an article for the newspaper highlighting a policy paper that was put out by the Chinese Foreign Ministry titled U.S. Hegemony and Its Perils. I don't know if you saw that or if you're familiar with it, but it was a very, very powerful and insightful critique that was basically totally unreported and uncommented on by the mainstream mass media, of course. That doesn't surprise us, right?
But I'm going to get that very, copy. Very,
oh, yeah, it was really good. And the article is in the most recent edition of the American Free Press.
Great.
It's, you know, it's excellent. It's basically, you know, it echoes a lot of the same points that you'd hear somebody like Putin or Lavrov make about the United States. And then, you know, also, you know, if you look at how the Russian and the Chinese, this like Russian-Chinese alliance, you know, like their overall attitude and pursuit of you know, pursuing international relations and just dealing with other countries on the world stage, they're all about developing, you know, cooperative alliances, respecting the sovereignty of other nations. You know, I mentioned before the show started that I have the front page article in the newspaper that just went to the printer yesterday, titled U.S. Hegemony Over with a question mark, like sort of speculating, like, is our time in the sun about over with now, and how the Russians and the Chinese are increasingly standing up to this, you know, just totally unjust U.S.-led world order. And, you know, Putin and Xi Jinping just had a meeting in Moscow. And, you know, you look at the rhetoric, you look at, you know, the documents that they signed, their cooperative agreements and alliances. It's all based on mutual respect, peaceful coexistence, you know, lasting friendship and win-win cooperation where both sides are gaining. And that is just like the total opposite of the way the U.S. conducts itself on the world stage. We're out there bullying countries, you know, insisting that they do everything that we say. If they don't, we're going to instigate a color revolution or outright invade their country. I mean, it's just like night and day the way the Russians and the Chinese are pursuing this alliance and pursuing diplomacy and international affairs versus the U.S. And it's frankly disgusting, and it's about time somebody stood up to this U.S. bully. And
amen.
You know, also, we have to understand that it's not even – it's sort of like – that's why I specifically use the word Jew and Jewish power and influence, because it's really not in American government. It's a bunch of Jews running the U.S. government.
Bingo.
You know? And it doesn't have to be like this. I mean, we could be out there forming alliances and respecting the sovereignty of other nations – and respecting, you know, genuine diversity in the world and, you know, helping other countries, you know, pursue their own interests and engage in win-win trade deals where each side is benefiting. But no, we want to go around and just bully everybody and you know, dictate to the world how everything should go. And it's just, it's wrong. It's unjust. And like I said, I'm glad that there's finally somebody standing up to it and exposing it and making moves against it. And I think that's a very good thing, even if it's going to bring you know, potentially some economic or financial harm to this country. We have just been misgoverned and mismanaged for far too long. And it's good, I think, at this point that there's serious political players out there standing up and challenging this totally unjust, tyrannical New World Order system.
You know, John, there's one thing if you mentioned Syria, one of the people that we've, Sodom on the Potomac, the government has really mistreated. Here, get this. The United States of America is in a sovereign nation of Syria. They have Conoco Oil Company has had operations over there being guarded by the United States Army. So when you have a foreign nation invading Syria, stealing their oil, stealing their resources, and when the Syrians lift one finger to defend their country to try to run the Americans out, then they're called insurgents. We got to defeat these
or
evil
terrorists.
Insurgents. Yeah, terrorists. Hypocrisy is, I mean, John, how can you be more hypocritical than that? The arrogance and hypocrisy, and you know what, and I'm sure if I mentioned that, I'm sure I must be an anti-Semite. But I just thought I'd point that out, John.
Yeah, exactly. No, I know, exactly. Well, I mean, what the hell are we doing in Syria? What are we doing in Iraq? What are we doing in Afghanistan? What are we doing in any of these countries? I mean, this whole entire global war on terrorism was literally concocted by Jewish neocons in Israel and in the United States. And of course, I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are about 9/11, but I'll tell you up front, 9/11 was a total false flag operation.
Yes, it was.
Done by Jews. Yeah.
Yes, it was. That's been proven.
Oh, yeah. Oh, without a doubt. It's been proven conclusively 1,000 times over. And I mean, our entire foreign policy has been basically based on the lies of 9/11. I mean, I know it's been over 20 years now, but still that sort of global war on terrorism sort of mindset still sort of prevails. Now it's sort of, you know, morphing into, you know, this proxy war with Russia. But still, I mean, for far too long, that's been the basis of our foreign policy, is fighting this quote unquote global war on terrorism, which is total nonsense. Totally concocted by these Jews to use the United States military to advance the interests of Israel in the Middle East. That's what this was all about from day one.
And if you know, John, you said that, you know, these people like in Washington D.C. You mentioned, they said that they're saying that Putin was this butcher, this mad butcher. He's a war criminal, needs to be arrested. But you know what? We don't see one single Russian boot on the ground in Iraq, Iran, Syria, Libya. We don't see any there. Any. We don't see any Chinese. It's all
exactly.
It's Russia. It's all the United States bombing the living hell out of everyone. If anybody
needed to be arrested, it would be the Jews in the Bush administration. Bush himself, Cheney, it would be all the Jews in the Obama administration, because Obama basically carried out the same exact policies as Bush did. You know, it would be these people. It would be U.S. officials who have launched all of these illegal wars for the past 20 years or more. They are the ones that should be arrested and you know, charged with war crimes.
I hope and pray I live to see that. I know people think that.
I would love to see the day, yeah.
I would be involved
that would,
in
that. That would be true justice.
I would love to have a court put out by patriot militiamen, like the original Constitution is supposed to be, and round these jugglers up and put them on trial and give them their just due. And that's the only way we're going to get rid of them, and line them up and do a job on them, because they're not going to go out any other way. As we know, you point out. I think it says something about Bush. Excuse me. I don't know if you say anything about Trump. Trump, I sure have no use for Trump. But they didn't like him. The Jews didn't like him. They stole the election. They took down a presidency. That we've had a complete. And if you agree with this, we've had a complete, total, communist takeover in this country. And the only thing saving us from total white genocide here is our millions of firearms, John. You know.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you.
Jim, we've come to a complete end of the program. Golly, this has gone so fast. Give us a quick line. Say the last couple of words, 20 seconds.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate you having me on. It's always good to catch up with you. We got to do this more often. I would encourage people to check out AmericanFreePress.net and BarnesReview.org. My website is TheRealistReport.com. Thanks, Eddie. I appreciate it, man. You have a great weekend.
Thank you. You do the same, John. Good. Have a good. Thanks for coming on, John. People, hang on to your seats. We're going to transition to the second hour right now, and we're going to bring on Dalton Stout with the Aryan Resistance, Aryan Network. Be right back, folks.